Are you going to start?
I guess I'm going to, but I was going to say, as we run into what I call the brick wall of broadcasting.
What's that?
I have nothing here, Ron.
Oh, we do. Yes, you do, because we talked earlier at our pre-production meeting.
Yes.
You were going to talk something about a homeless man?
Oh, the gentleman that I met, yes. I was in the city. Thank you for bringing that up. I was in the city about Friday.
It doesn't matter.
No,
Friday. You were in the city.
I have to get the visual met. Friday of last week, I was going to a meeting, and I like to do between meetings, I'd like to steal a cup of coffee and find a nice place, because the weather was very, very nice. A little warmish, but nice. In the city, you get that between the buildings breezes that blow. And they have these, if you notice, in between some of these buildings, these little parks.
Right.
Where you can sit down with a cup of coffee and just, this is over on 53rd Street on the east side of Manhattan. And this homeless man, who I have seen before, he's been out, but doesn't have the usual accoutrements of a homeless man. He has a little bag with him, and he started to get into a conversation with this woman, and then got me and the three of us into this little conversation about life in general. And I found his thoughts to be quite remarkable. And then I had an opportunity when she left to ask him, well, how long have you been homeless? And he said, for about 15 years. And I said, well, have you tried living in, you know, in, he said, in some of the halfway houses I have, but it hasn't worked for me. But I'm looking at a better opportunity over in New Jersey. He was going across the river to find a complex that takes men. He was a military man, Korean War. I'm going to say in his 70s. But he seemed extraordinarily happy. It was like talking to there's a church there, the St. Peter's Church, up along 53rd in the Citicorp complex. Small little church. Anyone can just walk in. The doors are always open. And I had seen him there before, okay? Because that was where I worked. I did my show, as you know, from Rothman's, which is on 54th Street for 5 years. And I just chit-chatted with him, and I found it to be, I can't describe it. I found it to be very comforting. But the man had no place to live.
Well, probably in his 80s, because if not late 80s, because of the Korean War was the 51, 52. So he's in his 70s.
70s. I'm going to say
he'd be a baby in the war. So.
Yeah, but he does not look in his 80s. I'll put you that
right.
way.
Okay.
He's an elderly man, well kept in the sense as you can be if you're homeless. But he looks fit.
Mm-hmm.
He looks fit. And he was articulating. He's a reader of poetry, which is, I know that's your end. And he was kind of lecturing me on the benefits of living a good life and enjoying every moment as it comes. And I'm having this conversation. I didn't realize around us people are listening to us at this point. And it is one of those events that overtakes you in the city of New York, where you are just, it's always an adventure in this town, has been all my life. And you find yourself in the middle of this situation. And I was just there, and other people were chiming in and chiming out, as it were. And he was like he was holding court, if you will. And it was wonderful.
Well, you know, my mother said to me many years ago, you never know when you talk to somebody in the street who appears to be homeless or in need, whether they are an angel in disguise. I mean, that's her philosophy,
yes.
and actually, I kind of like it.
I would tend to think that this man would qualify, because he had everyone absolutely enthralled by his conversation. He was not spouting poetry, but waxing poetic, if you will.
Yeah.
And it was just charming as we drank our coffee and so on. And then I said to him, you know, I really must go. I have to get to my next meeting. He says, I promise you, you won't be late. but do remember to think about the little things that matter most. And then he quoted in a different way, but it came out to this, and I can't quote him verbatim because other people were talking at him at the time. I complained that I had no shoes,
mm-hmm.
and then I met a man with no feet.
Sure.
And that ended the conversation. I thanked him, and I left. And that is a New York experience.
Yes, indeed. And there's a lot of them out there, and we both can share those as we go along.
And thank
you. But right now, let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a few.
America Weekend. Think Green.
Harrison with you. A new green cement has been calibrated to eliminate the huge amounts of carbon dioxide spewed into the atmosphere by manufacturers of the old cement used in concrete for buildings, roadways, and bridges. The reality is that for every ton of ordinary cement produced, a ton of air-polluting carbon dioxide is released. Worldwide, 2.5 billion tons of cement are manufactured each year, creating about 5% of the Earth's CO2 emissions. So with green cement on the horizon, the U.S. can do its environmental part. Carbon dioxide is a global problem and not a regional one, since a CO2 molecule can travel from Beijing to San Francisco in less than a day through atmospheric circulation. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Did you know there's a book out there that can solve any problem your child has, even emotional problems? Here's the science of it.
I think I've got the perfect solution.
It's called Bibliotherapy, and here's how it works. There's probably a book already written about a kid who has the same problem as your child. Say your child doesn't make friends easily. Well, talk to your librarian, and they'll use a book called Book Finder to locate a book about a fictional kid who solved the same problem your child is dealing with.
I want you to tell me a story.
Now, as your child reads that book, he'll identify and learn how the fictional character solved the problem.
I won't bore you with a story.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Books aren't just for entertainment. You know, they can actually solve problems, too.
I think I've got that problem solved.
Speaking of books, check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.